Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Christians work together to build up the Lord's church, to cause the church to grow numerically, spiritually, to prosper in those things for which the church was established. But in doing this work, we are expected to follow the Lord's pattern. We're not interested in building up some religious order. We're not interested in building up denominations that have come from the minds of men, that follow after catechisms and disciplines and manuals and prayer books and things of that nature. We're interested in the church which you read in the New Testament. Dear friend, the people sometimes ask, which is the right church? Well, the right church is the church that is revealed to us in the New Testament. I just would see how people are interested in being members of the churches of which there's not a single word in all the pages of God's Word. But yet men will flock after the doctrines of men and join these human-originated churches and feel content and secure in them. But that's not what Christians, true Christians, are concerned about. They're concerned about Christ and His church and the salvation of souls. And the reason we're interested in His church, because Ephesians 5:23, that's the church that He is going to save. That's the church, the kingdom of God, that's going to be delivered to God when the Lord returns again. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24. Now our concern is about the church that was established on the first Pentecost, and this followed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That was the time, of course, when the Apostle Peter and the other apostles, guided by the Holy Spirit, declared that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. And they were very persuasive, because people heard that word, they believed what they heard, and they obeyed. When they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were told to repent and be baptized. I don't know why preachers are reluctant to preach the same message that the inspired apostles preached. Does your preacher preach repent and be baptized for the remission of sins? Now, some will preach to be baptized in order to join a human denomination, but the New Testament teaches us to be baptized for the remission of sins, and it also tells us that the Lord adds to the church those that are saved, Acts 2 and verse 47. Now, in the Scriptures, this church was established on that day, and then we read how that many were obedient to the gospel. We read of many congregations, and we read about their successes, and we read about problems that they had. We read about persecutions that they suffered. We read about setbacks that came in their history, and we see down through history the problems that holding to the pattern of God has had. But we can learn and we profit from what is told about the church of Jesus Christ. And our lesson is intended to call attention to some of the characteristics of the church, one of the congregations that was in Antioch of Syria. Now, we're not only interested in that church, and we're interested in the early church generally, but we're interested in seeing what God wants and what we should be interested in trying to restore and reestablish in our own day and time. Now, when we talk about the church in Antioch of Syria, there are two very prominent cities in the New Testament about the church called Antioch. One was Antioch of Syria, which we shall look at, and then the Antioch of Pisidia, a church that was established by the Apostle Paul on his first missionary journey. But we're guided by the church of the New Testament to see what we should be today. Sometimes cynic will say, well, which church you're going to try to restore? You're going to try to restore the one in Corinth that was so steeped in sin and so in violation of things that God wanted? Are you going to talk about the church in Jerusalem that refused to accept the Gentiles for a long time? Friend, it's quite obvious that Christians have had their problems, and the churches of the New Testament had their problems. And what do we learn? We learn how to solve problems. We learn what truth is in contrast to that which was erroneously being taught. We learn the pattern that God wants us to follow. We learn from the New Testament what is acceptable before God concerning the church. And it is the acceptable things that we're trying to restore even in our own day. And as I said, it's for our salvation and others. Well, how did the church of Antioch in Syria come into existence? Well, it was established by the preaching of the Word of God. In Acts chapter 11, verse 19 through 21, you'll be interested in this passage of Scripture. It tells us how the Lord's church is established in a given locality. Now, when they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Notice what established this church in Antioch. They were preaching the Lord Jesus. Friend, when the gospel is preached, when it is heard and believed and then obeyed, it will produce nothing except the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. Now, the preaching of the word and staying strictly with the word and speaking as the oracles of God, it will never produce a denomination. You see, there wasn't any denominations after nearly 600 years before the Lord's church was established. But when you preach the word, that's the seed of the kingdom. You plant apple seed, you'll get apples. You plant peach seed, you'll get a peach tree. You plant the seed of the kingdom, which is the word of God, what's the result? Why, it's going to be the church of Jesus Christ. Now, we read here of the preaching the word, preaching the Lord Jesus, and great numbers heard, they believed, and they obeyed. And verse 24 tells us, much people were added to the Lord. Friend, preaching the word of God never produces anything else but the Lord's church. And secular history informs us that possibly as many as 10,000 people in Antioch were members of the church. Now, that's not a scriptural revelation. I said secular history tells us that. But we do know that Scripture teaches us that many in Antioch obeyed the gospel. And this was the church where Paul and Barnabas worked together for a whole year, in verse 26. This was the place where the disciples were first called Christians, in Acts chapter 11, in verse 26. This was a congregation that included both Jews and Gentiles. This was a notable New Testament church. Now, it's marvelous that the church was established here in Antioch, because the Apostle Paul had gone into these various places to persecute the Lord's church, and yet the church grew and prospered even under that persecution that arose from the time of the martyrdom of Stephen. And what about this church? What was the activity of this church? What did they believe and do? Well, the church was a benevolent-minded church. We've had lessons about benevolence and how this is a characteristic of Christian people. And in Acts chapter 11, we read, "And in those days came prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world. It came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every one according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." You see, these people were glad and willing to help out those in need. When it was learned that their Jewish brethren were in physical need, Antioch, the brethren there, which had received spiritual help from Judea, now had an opportunity to return the favor. Each one gave as they could, and Paul and Barnabas took what was given to the elders of the Jerusalem church, who obviously took the oversight of its distribution. And for the church today to be like this first century church, there must be this attitude and action of a benevolent spirit toward the needy. So often this phase of work is neglected, realizing that it's not the primary thrust of the work of the church. It is nonetheless an important manifestation of the Spirit of Christ to do good. As we have studied, Paul said, "As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them that are the household of faith," Galatians 6 and verse 10. John says, "But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother in need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." It is most unfortunate that some create problems over how the benevolent work is to be done. Some have even divided churches and made laws where God has not made any, imposing their self-made restrictions, demanding that everybody conform to their opinions. But God has commanded a work to be done. Sometimes He's not only commanded the work to be done, but how it is to be done. And when in that is the case, both the work and the how it is to be done is binding upon us. But when God has commanded a work and is not specified how it is to be done, then we're at liberty to exercise our own judgment in the methods that are used. And there is room for opinions when it comes to the matter of serving in the benevolent area of the church. And none should be so contentious about their own opinion that it would create strife among brethren about it. Much benevolent work demands the exercise of human judgment, and we must do the very best that we can. And the eldership of the local church has the duty, and indeed it has the authority, to decide what is the best way for that congregation. But friend, unless the church is practicing what James called pure and undefiled religion, why, how can it be pleasing to God? It's not pleasing to God. And there are a number of methods that can be used in carrying out this benevolent phase. But what we want to understand from our lesson today, the church in Antioch of Syria, it sets a pattern for us, the kind of church that we ought to be. And the church in Antioch was a benevolent-minded church. The church today should also have that same disposition about it. And we want to restore the New Testament church just that way. This is A Burning Fire. Until next time.